the power of imagination to solve our problems, to create a better world. Imagining the Future with Doug Foresta. Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the brand new show, Imagining the Future. This is your host, Doug Foresta, and I'm really excited to be doing this. And this is a culmination of probably about a year of discussions. And I want to, first of all, thank Brent Carey and all the people at Empower for the opportunity to do this show and give you a little bit of background just about how I came to this place. Before bringing on my guest today is Coach Jeff Rock from Swift River Coaching. But I just want to say briefly a little bit about what the show is going to be about, since it is a brand new show. And the show really comes out of the work that the Lincoln Center Institute has done with imagination. And I had an opportunity last July to go to the America's Imagination Summit. And it was a summit of leaders from all over the world, really, who were using imagination in all areas of life. The main thrust was about imagination as an education tool, imagination as a capacity, as something that can be measured, that can be learned, that can be taught, and needs to be. And when I thought about that, I said, you know, what would I like to do? What would I like to do? And one of the things that came to me was I would love to do a show about the power of imagination. And Lincoln Center Institute has been having these things called imagination conversations. And that's kind of how I picture this show, is about having imagination conversations. So we're going to have each week, we're going to have amazing guests and really great people, and hopefully some thought-provoking interviews about imagining the future and imagining a better world and imagining what could be beyond the sort of right, left. I can't stand listening to certain shows that are really just sort of filled with rigid positioning and negativity. So this show is going to be about positive conversations about moving forward, imagining the future. Having said that, I want to bring on my first guest for the show, Jeff Rock, who is the Chief Insight Officer at Swift River Coaching and someone that I consider to be a friend. And I just want to thank Jeff so much. Jeff, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, Doug, thanks for having me on your show, and congratulations on your inaugural show on with Imagining the Future. It sounds fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks so much. So I thought what we'd start with is, I thought it was a good place to start. When you think about imagining the future, there's all kinds of things, you know, all kinds of topics that I have in mind, you know, about energy and peace and all kinds of things. There's all kinds of challenges and financial challenges. But I thought the good place to start would be actually sort of imagining ourselves. And so what I wanted to talk mm-hmm. about with you is this idea that I know that, you know, you and I have spoken before, and you've, you know, you've actually, we've talked before on my blog talk show. And what I wanted to talk about is sort of bringing up this idea of our capacity that we have as human beings to, well, let me ask you, maybe I'll phrase this as a question. Do you think what role would you see imagination playing in our own lives, just in our personal lives, and how we see ourselves and how we operate in the world?
Yeah, imagination is a very, very powerful presence in our lives, and it can work for us or it can work against us. And when I work with my clients who are struggling with something and I talk about using their imagination, I often get comments like, that's not my strength. I don't have a lot of imagination. And then as we start to explore some of their challenges, we realize that they have a very strong imagination, but they've been using it primarily against themselves by imagining things that will go wrong, projecting down the future for things that have not and may not occur. So imagination is very powerful in our lives. On the other side of the coin, imagination has been a very powerful tool working with my clients to imagine the future that they want, because I sincerely believe that we can create our future, and it really begins with being able to imagine it or have that vision.
I really appreciate that you brought up also the dark side of imagination, because you have a quote that I would ask for you to share with listeners from Thich Nhat Hanh that I really like, which talks about sort of, you know, although we talk about imagining the future, and Lincoln Center acknowledges this too, there is a sort of a flip side to imagination. And I'm wondering if you could share, you know, that Thich Nhat Hanh quote that you had shared with me.
Sure. I had heard it on one of the shows on NPR, but his quote was, "We are like an artist who is frightened by his own drawing of a ghost." And I just come across this all the time. And when we look at energy blocks or things that get in the way of our success, it's usually has at least some component of our having created something that is getting in our way. So we create it, and then we're afraid of it.
And what I love about that is, see, the good news for me about that is that, you know, I think I thought about this a lot, is the great thing about the fact that we can know that imagination can play a positive or negative role in our lives. For me, what the great thing about that is that it basically that our lives and our the way that we see ourselves and our way of being is a whole lot more elastic than we imagine it to be. I guess what I'm saying is that we have a lot more choices about how we see ourselves and the stories that we tell about ourselves than I think we often imagine.
That's absolutely true. And I, you know, as a coach, when I hear someone say, "Well, I didn't have a choice," I have to take a deep breath and really bring the person back and say, you really did have a choice. And sometimes they need help determining what their choices are. So, for example, you know, I was working with someone who got exasperated by having to stop at so many red lights. I actually had a lot of clients who complain about that. And when I ask about where your stressors are, "Well, traffic," and then I get stuck at a red light. I said, "Well, you have a choice. Looking at stopping at a red light as being a choice, because you do. I mean, you can run it if you really wanted to."
Many people
but
do.
If you look at, and they do. But if you look at it as, this is a choice I'm making because I want the other people coming the other way to make that same choice for me, it's taking back ownership of a choice and taking you out of victimhood. And that little mind shift usually works quite well for getting people out of that constant anxiety.
And I love, you know, you talked about energy, and so that was something I appreciate you bringing that up, because one of the things that you do is you work with you work with energy levels, and I'm wondering if you could say a little bit about that work and what that's about. What did you mean by energy?
Yeah, good question. So when I'm talking about energy, I'm talking about E equals MC squared kind of energy, literally that people are made of energy, as is everything, matter and energy being essentially the same. So when we are in different states of mind, we're at different energetic levels, and there are seven, ranging from at the lowest level, victimhood, to the highest level, a non-judgment. And knowing that those levels exist, and that each level there is a thought, emotion, and a potential action associated with it, one can manage one's energy level and understand where they are at a given time so that they can choose to be at the appropriate energy level. So even though conflict is one of those, and many people would see that as negative, it's not negative, it just is. But it is it's one of the lower level energies that can somewhat drain you. So choosing to be there when it's most effective and then leaving that energy level is a really powerful tool.
And what I love too is when you had shared this with me, you know, the different energy levels, you know, the lowest, like you said, being victim, and the highest, you know, the highest one being sort of unconditional love and creativity.
Yep.
That I was really interested also in the stories that go along with that, that it's not really what happens to us in our lives that determines what energy level we're going to be at. But that, I mean, this is how I was sort of thinking about it, was that it's also about how we frame and how we imagine the events in our lives and actively put them together that sort of determines what energy level we're going to be at.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. In fact, the assessment that I use that measures energy levels is entirely attitudinal. And so it is exactly what you said, how people perceive their situations, how they process it, and what they do with it that determines where they're going to be. And I believe you had shared with me some things from Viktor Frankl's book that I think are really, really relevant in this case. And maybe you could share that, one of those.
Sure. I'm not sure which. You're talking about the man's search for meaning. And
yeah, like the time he got the guard spit in his face.
Oh, right. Yes, absolutely. Viktor Frankl talks about how he survived many humiliations by the guards when the guards would humiliate him and spit in his face. And he would imagine, they asked him years later, how did you survive that? And he said, Viktor Frankl said that one of the ways that he survived it, the main way, is that he imagined himself in the future as a famous psychologist giving a lecture about the power of choice, and then imagining this situation and talking about it to a group of thousands of people and everyone going, wow, that's such a powerful example. And so that he saw this guard as sort of helping him move forward in his destiny in life, which is an amazing way to reframe something. He turned what was, of course, the guard intended it to be a humiliating, horrible thing, to making it,
right,
to creating something that was, part of his life. This is part of my destiny. And the great part about it, I think, is it doesn't matter whether that was true or not. I don't know how you'd even measure whether that was true. What actually happens is, and I think this is the energy piece, it's sort of either one can be true. Like we can decide what's going to be true, so that if an event happens, I think I had talked to you about this, Jeff, but I'll share it with listeners, about how I was recently in a car accident and I had this woman collided into me. She came out of the left lane out of nowhere and we both stopped, and she came out of the car and she was totally distraught. And she said, I just got my license back. Please, she goes, please, I just got my license back. I got suspended and I just came back from the registry of motor vehicles, and I knew I was going to crash into somebody, and this always happens to me. And, why is this my luck? And then, I wasn't, of course, too happy to be, in a car accident. But the funny thing is that, I've been sort of thinking about this idea that, that I've been fortunate and blessed in my life. And she actually hit my car over these existing dents that I had been thinking about wanting to get fixed, but had, I was thinking it would cost a lot of money to get the body work done. And she hit me exactly over those dents and nowhere else.
Yeah.
And so I kind of looked at the car and I thought, wow, what good luck. And so, I wasn't hurt and she wasn't hurt. And so it's like our energy levels collided and we both came away, same event, but we came away with very different stories.
Absolutely. And, when you listen, she jumped right out of the car and then she started telling you what the narrative that was going on with her. And she knew that she was going to get in an accident, and sure enough. And, the Viktor Frankl thing, here's a perfect example of really raising your energy level. Almost anyone who was in a concentration camp and had a guard spit in his face would feel victim energy and a lot of conflict and anger. And, it was intended to strip him of his humanity, but he raised it up substantially beyond that by imagining his future and creating his own narrative about what was going to happen in the future. And, based upon what we know about his life now, that's where he got to. So we really create. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry, finish.
So we really do tend to create our future.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you and I, it's been great to connect, because I'd been thinking a lot about, about the use of narrative and about stories. And I've been using that more and more in my own practice as a therapist. And the work that you're doing, it just tied in very well. I'm wondering too, if you could just talk about sort of, what are some of the reasons that people come see you as a coach? What are some of the most common reasons that people would come see you?
Lately, it has shifted over the past couple of years, but the people that have been coming to see me lately are people who have hit, shall we say, a milestone birthday, somewhere around 40 or more often 50, and things just aren't where they wanted to be. And in some cases, they are just very quite frankly, profoundly unhappy. Maybe they're struggling in their business or the company they work for, or usually some connection into their personal life too, because everything's connected. And as we go through the process, I get their narrative. I hear their story, and I hear things like, well, that's the story of my life, which is really an interesting thing. And they have come to believe certain things about themselves that simply are not true. They've created their own limiting beliefs. And so as a coach, I shine the light on it, and then we look at rebuilding a new narrative and breaking it down into small pieces and little steps, so that very quickly they start to come to understand that they are far more than what they have painted themselves to be. And they really come to realize that they truly have created their own drawing of a ghost.
Right. I really love that. I love that quote about, you know, that we're like artists who become afraid of our own drawing of a ghost. And I love when people say, I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things that why I wanted to start off the show with you today, because this piece about talking about how we imagine ourselves, because everything flows to me, everything flows from that. I mean, we're not going to be able to change the world if we can't change the way that we perceive our own lives. We're not going to be able to change the larger context. At least I don't think so.
I could not agree more. So this one client that I had been working with was struggling with something, and as we resolved that in his life, he had a very large staff, and that whole more enlightened approach spread out to the staff, and then it spread out from them to their families, and it spread out from them beyond. I don't know, because I can't follow everybody around, but the reverberation effect from one person changing has been profound, and it has not taken long. And I think that that's where it begins. When we do change ourselves. And, you know, in changing ourselves too, and reaching to that, for that higher level of consciousness, and recognizing how much in control we have of our lives, and focusing really on ourselves and the present moment, that it really does spread out in really positive ways, much like when someone, when those radio talk show hosts spread that negativity, it works the same way.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that really bothers me, and about some of the, you know, some of the more popular radio shows, is that negativity is a powerful energy, so you can harness it, you know, for your own egoic need to to do whatever you want to do. Yep. But it really is powerful. It is powerful, and it does have an effect.
I attended Michael Margolis's Reinvention Summit a couple of weeks back, and I'm still processing the material. What was really fascinating to me in talking, you know, hearing about story and narrative and dialogue and structure to it, how it's actually been something that's been in use by the more creative people in our society, and it's not something that's widely understood. But it is probably, you know, storytelling sounds like, you know, you think Aesop's Fables or something, but really storytelling, creating the story of our lives and being able to communicate that to other people, which builds connections. It's just amazing to me how much it really is out there in ways that we hadn't recognized before.
It's very interesting. I appreciate you sharing that. Of course, you're talking about the Marco Margolis's Storytelling to Reinvent Oneself.
Yep.
And I just wanted to share that. I'm not sure if I ever shared this with you, Jeff, and I'll share it with the listeners. I did some graduate work in theater at Hunter College, and I took a course in tragedy with Stanley Kaufman, who was the former critic for the New York Times. And I think he's still pretty, I'm sure he's around. I think he's still around doing still doing reviews I think it's the New Yorker. But at any rate, the point of it was that the class was about tragedy and why. I mean, you know, he's talking about Greek tragedies, you know, the oldest form of drama. And one of the main questions that we asked in the class was, you know, why do people watch tragedies? You know, why do people go see sad movies? You know, why wouldn't we just watch? Why would anyone write a tragedy? Why wouldn't we just watch comedies to feel better? And sort of the answer that came was that there's this human need to, one of the things that people realized they could do early on was that maybe they couldn't stop whatever painful things from happening in their lives, but they could put them together in a way that was beautiful and meaningful and made sense, and they could make sense out of things, and that there is pleasure in doing that. And not only is there pleasure, but that it's an amazing capacity that we have as human beings to transform suffering into meaning, to transform the events in our lives into something greater.
Yes. And, you know, one of the reasons I think that they're still teaching Greek tragedy is because the basic structure of Greek tragedies are still happening today. And you can see them coming, and it just feels like you're in the middle of Antigone's or something. But you're right, it does put suffering in a way that we can understand. And in understanding suffering is really critical to connecting to compassion and being a full human being.
So one of the things I wanted to give an opportunity, Jeff, if people wanted to contact you and wanted to work with you, just to give out your whatever, any contact information that you wanted to give out, just, you know, if people, you know, listening to you today said, I really resonate with what he said and I'd love to learn more about what he does, how can people connect with you?
Well, they can email me at jeff@swiftrivercoaching.com. On Twitter, I am @SwiftRiverCoach, or they can call my business line at 413-668-8433.
So, and also, I just let you know that your information will also be on the webpage for this episode at empowerradio.net. So people will also be able to go there and look at that. So your information will be up there as well, just so that so listeners know. So I'd love to, I definitely, you know, Jeff, I hope that you'll, I hope that you'll continue to come back to the show and join me, you know, from, you know, as a regular guest, because I think that what you're doing really is all about imagination. And like I said, I think, you know, it's really the foundation of everything is reimagining, you know, reimagining ourselves and realizing that we have a choice about how we imagine our lives.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I've really come to understand the power of imagining things and then creating a story, because a story can stick with someone and a story makes a connection. And if I have time, can I tell you a real quick story?
We're about 3 minutes to close, or 2.5. So,
all right, 20 seconds then. So I have clients come to my house. I have 4 dogs, 3 of which are standard schnauzers, and 1 is a little stray who is really beat up badly when I found her. And I tell people the story of how I came to understand who she was and what she had gone through. And I often get this comment as people leave, I like all your dogs, but I really like this little one because I know her story. And it's just really jumped out at me that how much you can connect with someone if they really understand your story, because your story is who you are.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that, Jeff. And it also brings up that, you know, one of the things that we're going to close out here, but I'm definitely going to be bringing on some more people, connecting this connection between story and imagination, because I think one of the ways in which we make connections about the world is through stories. And like you were saying about, you know, the different energy levels, how we imagine and the stories that we tell about the events in our lives really determines what energy level we end up on. So Jeff, thank you so, so much for joining me today and for, you know, sharing your words of wisdom and being the first guest on Imagining the Future. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, you're quite welcome. I was honored to be your first guest, and I would be glad to come on your show anytime.
Thank you. Yes, the first of many conversations.
You bet.
All right. Thank you so much, Jeff.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you so much again to Empower Radio and to Brent Carey. And thank you, of course, to all the listeners for listening. And I really hope that you will listen in. We're going to have next week, actually, Scott Knoppe Brandon, the executive director of the Lincoln Center Institute, is going to be joining me talking about his book, Imagination First. And he really, his work, this show really builds on the work of the Lincoln Center Institute. And Scott, as well as Eric Liu, the co-writers of this book, really were the ones who truly put together all of this and is the foundation of this. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you so much. This is Doug Foresta at Imagining the Future. Look forward to connecting with all of you next week. Take care.